الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى اما بعد فاعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا ايها الذين امنوا لا تلهكم اموالكم ولا اولادكم عن ذكر الله ومن يفعل ذلك فاولئك هم الخاسرون وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم اكثروا ذكر هادم اللذات يعني الموت صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected brothers and elders, we had been discussing the formula of success as it's spelled out by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran, and that was to carry out good deeds with iman. To carry out good deeds with iman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had promised a life of peace and tranquility in this world, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will repay the person for the good deeds that he carried out in the akhirat. Happiness and bliss and joy and comfort in this world and hereafter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in this verse, man amila salihan min dhakarin aw untha wa huwa mu'min, whoever carries out good deeds from the male and female on condition that they have iman, falanuhyiyannahu hayatan tayyibah. With great emphasis, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes a divine promise here. We will give him a life full of peace and وَلَنَجْزِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْرَهُمْ بِأَحْسَنِ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ, and we will prepay him for the good deeds that he carried out in the hereafter. We had also mentioned last week the effect of good deeds in this world, how at the time of calamity and hardships, those three people that were entrapped in the grave, they had made dua and beseeched Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, making reference to the good amal that they had carried out and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had salvated them and saved them and granted them safety from imminent death at that time. So we understand that good deeds not only rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the hereafter, even in this very world we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes them the means of our salvation, the means of our comfort, and the means of salvating us and saving us from calamity and difficulty and hardships. This was the effect of good deeds as far as the zat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is concerned. And even amongst ourselves, the person carries out a good deed, a good action towards somebody, that is not forgotten. Insanu abdul ihsan, a person is always appreciative of the good that is done towards him, whether it is helping him in financial difficulties or giving him relief, etc. When he is burdened by some difficulty and hardship and calamity befalls him, person sits and consoles him, tells him some kind words, or assist him in whatever manner in this world, we find that is also appreciated by insan. And this is not restricted to mu'min and ghair mu'min. Even the person that's not a Muslim, do a good deed towards him, or he does a good deed towards you, and you become appreciative of this good deed and this good action and good gesture of kindness and goodwill that he has carried out towards you. So good deeds are that those things that a person should search out for, which is based his peace and tranquility in this world and the hereafter also, is based on this iman and amal-e-salihah. And this announcement is made every week. This what is mentioned in this ayat is mentioned every week, that our success and the success of all mankind lies in following the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the way shown to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What is this? Iman and amal-e-salihah. Iman, the way shown to us by Allah. Allah has commanded us to do, carry out certain actions. That is, we have iman upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We will regard them as binding upon us, as obligatory and mandatory upon us. And amal salihah, those actions that are carried out by the way shown to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So our success, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has fixed here, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made here in iman and amal salihah. As far as the rest of the things are concerned, yes, they may contribute to this, they may assist us and help us in some way of carrying out these actions, but they are not objects in their own. They are not objects in their own that they should, a person can indulge in them, and a person can spend his time, his life, his energies, and all the resources that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him in those aspects. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in numerous verses of the Holy Quran, reminds us about our wives and our children, and our wealth, and our properties, and our possessions. This is something of a necessity and a blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us. But we are not given an open license to indulge in them to such an extent that we forget the orders of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No, our prime object is amal-e-salihah, pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, developing our iman and following the footsteps of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is our object of coming into this world, worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and recognizing him and fulfilling the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the way shown to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As per necessity, we have to have a wife, we have to have children, and we need wealth, etc., to sustain ourselves, etc. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse of the Holy Quran tells us, Al-Malu wal-Banun zinatul hayati dunya. That this wealth that you have, the possessions that you have, the great properties that you have, the bank balances that you have, and the children that you have, the family that you have, your children, your grandchildren, etc., from your daughters and from your sons, zinatul hayati dunya. This is an adornment of the worldly life, an embellishment of the worldly life only. In other words, their benefits are restricted for you here in the worldly life. وَالْبَاقِيَاتُ الصَّالِحَاتُ خَيْرٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ ثَوَابًا وَخَيْرٌ أَمَلًا. But those actions that are enduring, those good actions that are lasting, خَيْرٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ ثَوَابًا. This is better by your Lord as far as reward are concerned. خَيْرٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ ثَوَابًا وَخَيْرٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ وَخَيْرٌ أَمَلًا. These are actions that you can have more hope upon in the court of your Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the good actions. In other words, your real reward will be by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can have great reward. These actions are better for you as far as your rewards of the hereafter are concerned. As far as your hopes of the hereafter are concerned for salvation, for peace and tranquility and comfort, then it is these good deeds, وَالْبَاقِيَاتُ الصَّالِحَاتِ, and those everlasting and enduring good works. What is meant by that? There are different interpretations given. Some of the opinion that these words, Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar, this is what is meant by al-baqiyatu salihat, those good deeds that are enduring. And some say, what is meant here are your daughters, those daughters that you had brought up, and you had brought up and given a good sound education, and you had nurtured them according to the way of Islam, they are what is meant by baqiyatu salihat. This is with reference to one tradition that is mentioned in the hadith, that a person will be destined for the fire of Jahannam. Thereafter his daughters will come and they will hold his legs and say, Oh Allah, they will plead in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on behalf of that father, that this father of mine had undergone difficulty and hardship in rearing us and nurturing us. Oh Allah, save him from the fire of Jahannam. And their intercession will be accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And other commentators are of the opinion what is meant by baqiyatu salihat is all good deeds and righteous deeds that are done in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are the ones that are meant here, that they are khayrun inda rabbika thawaba. They are better by your Lord as far as reward is concerned, and khayrun amala, and they are better as far as your hopes are concerned in the hereafter. Similarly, in another verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, إنما أموالكم وأولادكم فتنة والله عنده أجر عظيم. That your wealth and your children, they are fitna, they are a trial for you. Meaning what? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted them to you. Great amount of wealth you have here, the family you have here, to try you and to test you whether you will become so engrossed and intoxicated with these ni'mats of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you will forget the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will begin to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while earning wealth or while looking after your wife and children. You will begin to forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and or despite your enormous wealth that you have and the families that you have, you will always be focused on the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They will not deter you from the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will continuously make your hallmark the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, irrespective of the amount of wealth that you have, irrespective of the great family that you have. You will never be unfocused from this obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the test for you from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wallahu indahu ajrun azim. Normally, in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is enormous and a great reward. Normally, a person feels that bringing up a family, obviously, it is an obligation. Similarly, earning halal wealth is an obligation and a duty upon us. Sometimes a person is under this misconception that this means that I can do whatever I want. Whatever I want, there's no limitations and there's no criteria as far as the permissibility is concerned, and that I can go to all extents from morning till evening, flouting the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, earning a living and expressing love and appreciation for my family and children and looking after their needs. I can do what I want to. No. This is not an irrestrictive permissibility, but this is restricted with what? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns us in another verse of the Holy Quran, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, la tulhikum amwalukum wa la awladukum an dhikrillah. O you who believe, let not your children and let not your wealth divert you, distract you from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let them not make you forget the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Commentators mention that this verse clearly chalks out and tries to give us this meaning and this understanding that you should indulge with your wife and children and you should earn an honest living, provided this does not deter you, this does not distract you, this does not take you away and make you unmindful of the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the criteria is this, that person that earns his wealth, that person that indulges in fulfilling the needs of his wife and family to that extent that it does not divert him and distract him from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is on the right path, is on the right course. But that person who begins to earn a living from the morning till the evening, flouting the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, forgetting the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is meant here by remembrance of Allah? Some commentators mention is meant here the zikr of Allah, the remembrance of Allah. Some say what is meant here, the 5 daily salat. Other words, the person carries out his 5 daily salat while he is trading as well, while he is conducting his business and earning as well, is not unmindful of his 5 daily salat. Some say what is meant here is hajj and zakat, that he carries out, he fulfills his hajj and fulfills his zakat. Hasan Basri rahimullah mentions what is meant here is all the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other words, the person does not become unmindful from the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while he is earning a living. All the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala he upholds. All the commands and injunctions that I mentioned, he upholds and is mindful about them while he is earning a living and while he is looking after his wife and children. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us here that it is allowed and permissible for us that we indulge and we activate ourselves as far as our earning is concerned and as far as looking after the needs and wife is concerned, provided they did not make us forget the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if a person does that, then what is the consequence and what is the result? وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَلِكْ فَوْلَائِكُمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that that person that is earning a living, that's providing for his wife and family in a situation that he is unmindful of the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he is from among the losers. He is from among the losers. Why? Because he is looking for his temporary gain and forgetting his everlasting gain. He is looking for that inferior benefit and forgetting the superior benefit of the akhirat. He is just keeping in front of him the benefit of this world. And to ensure the world of other people, he is ruining his own akhirat. In the akhirat, he will be ruined because of his discarding his deen. And he may make the family, he may make the life of the family a little bit more comfortable in this world. But this is to his detriment and to his harm and disadvantage in the hereafter. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, and some commentators mention here, that what is meant here is reference to that verse of the Holy Quran, that person that forgets the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then his life becomes constrained in this world. وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً دَنْكَ وَنَحْشُرُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَعْمَى That person is unmindful and turns away from the remembrance of Allah, then فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً دَنْكَ Then his life becomes very constrained and straitened in this world. He does not have a life of comfort, irrespective of the amount of wealth that he possesses. And this is so evident today. Look around the society, you will find people who will have millions of rands, will have big bank balances, and will have great enormous amount of wealth. But the peace and tranquility and peace of mind is not found. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions here, person that turns away from my remembrance, from my obedience, from my deen, فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً دَنْكَ Then he will have a very constrained life, a life full of worry, a life where there will be no contentment, a life where there will be no peace. So here we understand that peace and contentment lies, like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, أَلَّا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَتْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ In the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lies the contentment and the peace of mind, and contentment of the heart lies in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Further, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us here in this verse of the Holy Quran that spend from that which we have granted you before the signs of death begin to appear upon you. وَأَنْفِقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقْنَاكُمْ مِنْ قَبْلَ يَأْتِيَ أَحَدَكُمُ الْمَوْتِ Before the signs of death become apparent to you, signs of death become apparent to you, there's great detail how the signs come when there's no hope left for that person and when he begins to see the hereafter, the realities of the hereafter before him, then spend your wealth before that in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and as zakat, as lillah, as providing for the people, the poor and needy, etc. Other words, capitalize on this asset that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. Take advantage of it and gain for yourself high stages in the hereafter. Why? When the signs of death will come to you, فَيَقُولَ رَبِّ لَوْلَا أَخَّرْتَنِي إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ قَرِيبٍ فَأَصَّدَّقْ وَأَكُمْ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ Lest you begin to say at that time that, oh Allah, if you had given me a little bit of respite, a little bit of chance, a few more days in this dunya, فَأَصَّدَّقْ وَأَكُمْ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ Then I will give charity, I will spend in your part, وَأَكُمْ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ And I will become from those people that are pious. those people that are righteous, those people that are upright, when you see the signs of death and this happens, then when you see the signs of death and you have failed to spend the part of Allah, then you will begin to long that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you respite. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala thereafter in the next verse mentions, وَلَيْ يُؤَخِّرَ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never give respite for a person after his appointed time. When our appointed time comes, we will have to leave this world. That is why it is not behoving for a mu'min to say if and but. If this had happened, that maybe my son, my wife, my daughter, my so-and-so, my aunt should have lived. Or if this had happened, then this should have happened. No. This is opening the door of shaitan, according to the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us very clearly, وَلَيُؤَخِّرَ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not give respite to the time for the appointed, after the appointed time, to any soul. That includes me and you and all of us. When our time comes, we'll have to leave this dunya. And wallahu khabirun bima ta'amadun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is fully acquainted with your actions. So here in this verse we are told that before our appointed time comes to leave this dunya, then we should prepare for the hereafter. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam exhorts us towards this, aksiru zikra hazi wal lazzat, that abundantly and excessively remember death, that the cutter off of all pleasures, yani al-maut. Abundantly think of death, because at the time of death, when we see the reality before us, a person, a young person, an old person, person that has so many ambitions, so many aspirations, so many ideas and objects in his life, we find here his life completely terminates before our eyes, and that person is gone from the dunya. Then we begin to reflect and think and contemplate that the day will come when I will have to leave this dunya in the same manner. And what preparations have I made for the hereafter? These realities are there when we see the reality of death. But before the reality of death, we find Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us that remember death excessively. In other words, that is why the mashayikh used to, one of their spiritual exercises was this for their murids, that they must sit and contemplate death at least in the day, once in a day, take out some time and complete and put out, seclude, isolate yourself and contemplate that you have passed away. And now your third life has terminated. Now what have you done? What's going to happen to you after death? Thereafter sit and contemplate so that you can be spurred up. You can be jolted from the sleep and slumber. And you can wake up towards the reality of life and carry out good aman and carry out good actions. And we should remember, death is not the end of the story, but it's the beginning of the real story. As Ali radiallahu anhu mentioned one day in one hadith, that all human beings are asleep. In other words, when the death comes, that is when the eyes open. The eyes towards the reality of the hereafter opens after we leave this world. Our respected Shaykh always says, Dunya to bahut khushnuma thi, qabar mein jaate hi dunya ki haqeeqat khul gayi. Dunya looks so nice and rosy and so colorful, etc. The moment we went into the grave, then the reality of the dunya was opened up before us, that the dunya was nothing. It was an illusion, it was a dream. It was something that was so temporary and transitory that come and gone. The reality is this, that I have landed up here now only with my amal. The people that were most beloved to me, most cherished by me, most loved by me, they have all departed, left me here. It is only my amal that has come with me. That is why we had mentioned last week how Hatib ibn Asam rahimullah had mentioned to his respective mentor that I saw that people begin to love and adore and spend their lives in loving people and things. But the reality of affairs is this, when they leave this dunya, nothing goes with them except their amals. That is why I have cultivated the love and attachment with good actions, so that when I leave this dunya, this beloved of mine, the good actions, will accompany me into the grave. So this is the reality. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take us upon iman. Allah ta'ala give us the tawfiq to make due preparations for iman. And as I mentioned, there's the beginning of another life, the life of the grave. Thereafter, standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the plains of Hashar, Maidan Hashar, the questioning, etc. And thereafter, reckoning. And thereafter, going over the bridge of Sirat. And thereafter, Jannat and Jahannam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make our final destination Jannatul Firdaus. For this, Allah Pa give us the tawfiq and guidance to take lessons from events around us. We hear every day, like last week, we find 3 deaths has taken place in our area. This should be sufficient admonition to us for us to reflect and contemplate and think that tomorrow I am going to leave this world. What preparations have I made? Today Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me the opportunity. One pious saint used to always say, a very nice saying, that whenever somebody passes away, he is giving a silent message to all of us remaining behind, that I am going, you prepare. I am gone and you prepare. And as I mentioned, there's the beginning thereafter when a person leaves this dunya, is away from the dunya, but the reality of life starts when he reaches the grave. Similarly, we should also think of our deceased and make a lot of dua for them, make isari sawab for them. The doors are open. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not cut them off from us completely. But the amount of good deeds that we can carry out, isari sawab and du'as that we carry out, this will bring the greatest amount of solace and peace to our hearts, that at least we are benefiting the people that have blessed this dunya. Should make this a daily a practice with us, not only attend a janazah and thereafter forget. We had one musalli, an elderly musalli, Allah ta'ala fill his grave with noon. He had given a very beautiful piece of advice to one of the other musallis. He said, whenever you come into the masjid and you have a few minutes in the masjid waiting for the namaz, etc., read a few quls for the deceased. Read 3 times at least, or 10 times, or 11 times, or 20 times, qul huwallahu ahad, 20 times, equivalent to a house in paradise. Read that and bless all those people that have passed away. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to take lessons from events around us, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to make due preparation for the year after, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take us all with death. This should be our greatest worry, and our greatest dua in this dunya should be this, that, oh Allah, we should live here with iman, and pass away upon iman, and be resurrected on the day of judgment with iman. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take us with iman, wa akhir da'wan, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.